This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Fine dining. The search for the most mediocre restaurant in America is a podcast where Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. His most recent episode featured guests Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's food court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Head on over to linktree.com/fine dining podcast and click Bees giveaway to enter for an all-expense-paid trip to your local Applebee's. The current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. Asterisk $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee's gift card.
Welcome to A Funny Feeling Podcast. I'm Betsy Sodaro.
And I'm Marcy Jarrow. This is a podcast where comedians tell us their paranormal experiences, and we listen to yours as well.
Oh, yeah. And if you have one of these paranormal experiences that you want to share with us, please email it to us at funnyfeelingpod@gmail.com.
Now get cozy.
And prepare yourself to be scared silly.
This is A Funny Feeling Podcast.
Are you ready? That is beautiful. That is beautiful.
Do you know what's really beautiful?
What?
This new era.
La 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 la. Isn't it? I'm pumped.
I gotta say, don't know anyone, doesn't matter how anyone is leaning politically. I think everyone can agree that at least us liberals are not complaining the same way we used to.
Not at all.
I mean, some are, like, you know, there's always going to be complaining, but it definitely feels like my Twitter timeline got a lot more optimistic.
Absolutely.
I mean, the most, like, jarring thing that happened to me this week was when J-Lo screamed "Let's Get Loud" during This Land Is Our Land.
This Land Is Our Land. Yes, yeah, yeah.
Let's get loud. And I was like, oh, she really snuck that in.
Good for her. Let's get loud.
I think she, like, wasn't sure she was really going to do it, but then she's like, yeah, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I'm going for it. A-Rod, she's like, should I do it, A-Rod? I don't know.
He's like, baby, if you want to hit a home run, you got to look at the stands.
That's it. I'm going to do it.
It just was like, whoa, shocker. Feeling optimistic, feeling hopeful.
And wild that there's somewhat of a plan.
It's really funny that there never was even half of one, not even a smudge mark on a paper.
Not even the idea of, like, plan, not even the word written out with the colon, plan.
No.
Wow.
No.
It's exciting.
Whatever. And I was telling Betsy that I actually am the one who mutated the new
Marcy
of-
did it because she loves being stuck inside.
I hate for the negative effects, but I love being inside.
But I just love being inside.
I simply can't help it. How have you been, Betsy? I was just
fine,
jammering.
Losing my mind a little bit. I was telling you that.
Yeah.
Just kind of had a day where it's like, oh, I'm just so sad. But feeling better.
Hey, man.
That's it. Day by day, dude.
You know, it's so stupid about feelings.
Everything.
They're so stupid. Like, we do need them because it helps us know how to navigate our community, right?
Right.
But they also, like, aren't real. Like, they, like, you should feel validated that you, your feelings matter to you.
Right.
However, they are not indications of what is happening in the world around you.
Right, right.
Because you can be like really, really sad while everyone in your life loves you and things are going great.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly. And it, and that really drives me nuts. That's a big thing of me that I'm working on, of just like, I shouldn't be sad, because then I get mad about being sad, and then just it sucks.
It's confusing. It's confusing.
It's so confusing.
But it's really good to be sitting in them and to say that you have and when it's happening, because then, like, it, I don't know, it's like the little magic trick of like making it less your own burden, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that is the thing. Their feelings are temporary. They are impermanent and not facts.
Right, right, right. Yeah, yeah. I got to remember that. Oh, God. I got to remember that.
I know. It's really hard. I wish I could go back in time and tell baby Marcy.
Dude.
And be like, look, eventually you're going to get on medication and that's really going to help. But in the meantime, this spiral... unnecessary. Things change like the weather, baby.
Dude, yep. One day at a time. One day,
day
at a time.
That
day. Television show, one day at a time.
One life to live.
One life to live. Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad. Better Call Saul.
Oh, Mad Men.
It's like my mother always used to say, Golden Girls.
And my parents, Saved by the Bell, the college years.
Oh gosh. Ooh. Well, we've chatted, ooh, right?
We've chatted, we've shatted, we've
simply got our butt hair matted. Shall we? Let's listen. Let's start it off by listening so we can sit back and chillax.
Ooh, I love a chillax, man.
All right. I'm going to get someone else to do our job for us.
Chilling and relaxing at the same time.
Here we go.
Sick, sick.
Hey, Marcy. Hey, Betsy. I have probably hundreds of stories I could tell you about interactions with spirits or ghosts, but that would take way too long, so I'm just going to give you guys a couple stories about the time I was harassed by a ghost when I was pregnant. So my husband and I moved in together when I was 18, and I found that I was pregnant literally 2 days before we moved in together, and the move was planned and the pregnancy was not, but we were pretty happy because I was told I couldn't get pregnant anyway, just from like general, you know, doctor's visits my entire life. I've always had issues, so I was pretty happy and have since been told that my child is a quote-unquote miracle, so there is that. We moved in and our first night was great. You know, the first few months were great. It was quiet. It was a nice two-story house, quiet neighborhood, you know, scenic, whatever, starting our new lives, blah, blah, blah. We were great. So, cut to, I'm 3 or 4 months pregnant and that's when some weird shit starts happening. I will say I've always been fairly sensitive and I've seen spirits or ghosts my whole life. Every home I've lived in and every place I generally go to, I feel or hear or see things. And it's basically genetic because my Nana, who's my grandma, my mom, my aunts, my sister, were all very witchy and, but also weirdly Catholic. So yeah, do with that what you will. And anyway, so at first, things just start feeling like creepy. Like I'm being watched or you know, you feel someone walk into a room and nobody does. So at the time, I was working days and my husband's working graveyard, so I'm home alone a lot at night. And the feelings start escalating into other things, noises and footsteps and someone walking up the stairs and lights flickering and, you know, the usual kinds of things you would expect. The point where things start getting really creepy is when I start hearing footsteps walking around my bed. You know, you have your bed in the middle of the wall and I'm used to this house. I've lived here for months and I can tell you all the noises that all the floorboards make. So I hear it walking around my bed and eventually it starts turning into full on running. Like someone was running from one side of the bed down to the other side and up and down and up and down to the other side, up and down. And then it would just stop. It would be like 20 seconds, 30 seconds maybe. And it would just stop. And our room was upstairs. And even when I was downstairs, I would hear this noise. And it didn't matter where we put the bed. The noises would change. The footsteps would change. So that was weird. And my dog at the time, when we were downstairs, would look up at the ceiling and growl. And she did not like whatever it was. And she would follow me around everywhere, which she never did before. I don't know if she didn't want me to be alone or if she didn't want to be alone, but she started doing that. And it was, I mean, I loved it because I love her, but it was very strange. And I would say the scariest thing that happened when I was in that house was one day when I was taking a shower and I was washing my hair. So like, this is some like classic scary movie shit right here. Like, okay, so I'm washing my hair and I have my head back and have my eyes closed and I hear the bathroom door close. So because I'm home alone, even when my husband was home, we never really closed the bathroom door. It's just like something we didn't do when we were taking showers, you know, I don't know. And so the door closes and then the lights start flickering and it's like very little at first, very faint. And then it starts getting a little stronger. And this goes on for like 10 or 15 seconds. And then it starts getting worse. Then the lights start full on like strobe lighting, like coming on and off and on and off. And the whole time I'm 8 months pregnant and trying to wash all the shampoo out of my hair and get the fuck out of there. But it feels like it's taking forever. Then they turn on, it stops. They stay on. 10 or 15 seconds go by and then they shut off. They just are off. I waited like frozen, paralyzed for like 5 seconds, 10 seconds, and it felt like 10 hours. And then I got out of the shower and I start reaching like blindly for the door. It's not a very big bathroom, but you know, I'm like panicking. And this bathroom had zero windows in it. It was like in the middle of the house. So no windows, pitch black. I reach and I feel the knob and I turn the knob and the door is locked. Like it's locked. And I had this door open and unlocked when I got in the shower and now it was fucking locked, you guys. So I stood there and I'm like naked and struggling and pregnant and freaking out and alone. And I'm struggling with the door for like, I don't know, a few seconds. And then I get it unlocked. I turn the knob and I open the door. And as soon as the door opens, the lights come back on and everything stops. It's just like back to normal. So I don't know. This probably all took like less than a minute, but it felt like forever. And I grabbed my towel and I ran upstairs and I put clothes on and I ran back down and I slept in our guest room that night because I was like, I don't even want to deal with it. And I never really had issues in the other rooms, but I didn't really stay in the other rooms. So I'm not sure. I didn't have an issue that night. And so when my husband came home, I was just like, we need to move. Whatever this is, it's getting stronger and it's feeling hostile. And I'm over it. So we had to stay for like a few more months because we were young and we were broke. And I did end up having my baby come home to that house. And after we brought him home, I would still feel things and hear things. And like something would whisper his name when I was like putting him down for a nap or like mess with the frequency on his baby monitor, like change the channel or like just make weird noises. But I don't know. Around the time I brought him home, maybe the time, you know, my mom was there for a couple weeks and my husband was there for a few weeks, but then I was alone after everyone had to go back to work. And around that time, I started feeling the presence of my Nana. And she wore this, like, very specific perfume. It was White Diamonds by Elizabeth Taylor. And I would smell it. I would smell it all the time, and I still smell it to this day. And I would really smell it around the baby all the time. I would, when I was nursing him, I would, like, she used to do this thing where she would take the back of her hand and, like, rub the hair out of my eyes. So I would feel her doing that when I was, like, going to take a nap and nursing. And the other more, like, hostile feeling just kind of slowly went away. And I feel like she was, you know, she was protecting her great-grandbaby. And we didn't end up staying in that house for very long, and we moved into the house we actually live in now. And we've been here for almost 11 years, and I still hear things, and I still see things, and I'll see a man walking down the hallway, like a dark shadow, or when I'm doing dishes, I always, like, peripherally see, like, a child walk up to me and, like, stand next to me, or, you know, just, like, little things like that. But yeah, those are stories for another time. My son, he's 11, and he has autism, and he is also sensitive. He hears voices, and he sees shadows too, and I'm just trying to teach him not to be afraid, and, you know, stand up for himself when he does feel afraid, and just, like, explain to him what these things are. And I've dealt with ghosts or spirits my entire life, and I think he will have to deal with them too. It seems to be like a family gift at this point, and it can seem like a curse sometimes, but you know, I could go on and on about my family too. We are very connected, and we've known each other for many lives, and yeah, I mean, I think this is long enough, so that'll have to be for another time, and I'd be happy to send more if you'd like to hear more. And yeah, thanks for listening to my story. Love the podcast, and I love you guys, and stay spooky.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Holy shit, send more in.
That fucking scared me.
Running around the bed uncalled is so for. Fucked up.
Oh, don't do
so
that.
Fucked up. How dare you, ghost, and you nasty pieces of shit.
I
don't
agree
fucking do that.
That with her, like, thinking it's ramping up, absolutely was ramping up. And then Betsy and I were saying, like that grandma was like, okay, look, you might be able to fuck with my granddaughter, but you are not fucking with my baby.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. I totally think grandma came in and was just like, fuck off.
Mm-hmm. That's
fuck
my baby.
Off. That's my baby.
And maybe it was that because, like, you know, you're an adult and can fend for yourself. Maybe it was like, you know, grandma was like, no, I was like, no.
Yeah.
You're not, that's a baby and it needs us to help it.
No is like, no.
She's like, babies can't even read, much less fend off a ghost.
Right.
Look, whoa. I don't have to talk shit about babies, but they can't even read.
They can't even read. And they don't, like, know how to say I'm hungry or anything.
No.
They just scream and cry.
And then, yeah.
And they have no knees.
None.
No knees. They haven't even gotten their knees yet.
Yeah, they don't have kneecaps and their skull's got a hole in it.
Their
come
skulls
on.
Are all squishy. Come on. They can't protect themselves from ghosts with no knees and a squishy skull.
Their heads are so big.
Too big. You got to support them or their neck will break.
You're like, are you an alien or what?
What are you? You little old man raisin.
What are you even doing? Remember what? really roasting babies.
Hell
over
yeah,
here.
Let them have it. They don't know.
They don't understand. They don't get jokes.
They don't get fucking jokes. they get blown away by seeing their own hand.
They're like, you can go, and they're like,
I mean, now that is funny. I just laughed too.
Okay, babies aren't all bad.
Actually, babies are, they're okay. They're okay. I don't want to hold one, but they're okay. They're okay.
I want to hold one for a little bit, but not as long as I'm going to have to.
Yeah. I don't even. I would be sitting and my sisters would be like, here. And I'm like, like, just, you don't have to do anything. Just put them on your lap.
Please, I have to take a shit, Betsy, yeah, please.
Please, anything, help me. Okay, I'll do it.
Actually, I nannied for years. So to this day, if someone has a fussy baby in public, I always want to take the baby from them.
Marcy, I believe that. Oh. I could see you always being like,
here.
Let me.
I got this. I don't want to brag, but I did have a bit of a touch for babies.
I bet you could chill a baby out.
It's really just bouncing, I guess.
Just bouncing. All you got to do is bounce.
Bounce, bitch.
Just bounce. And then bathroom scare? No.
That's,
once again, leave bathrooms out of it.
That is one of the worst, oof, like, bathroom scares I've ever heard.
Oh, disgusting.
And truly dangerous for someone 8 months pregnant, you know, wet.
For anyone.
I say especially.
But yes, of course.
Especially because your body changes so much so fast. So,
dude, yeah.
So I think maybe balance and stuff is, you know, it's all, you're dealing with things that you haven't dealt with before. And then adding on top of it.
Stress. Being
slipperiness.
Slipperiness,
bigger nipples
stress,
than you expected.
Ghost, lights flickering. Yeah, your titties getting huge.
Too big. You can't reach the door around
that's
them.
Too scary.
Oh,
no.
That was one of those stories where I was like, am I going to cry because it's too scary?
Yeah, possibly. I was covered in goosebumps.
Goose skin.
Well done. Well done.
That was great. Can I read a story now to you, Betsy?
Please.
Let's see if I can read better than a baby.
Okay. I mean, I think you can, Marcy.
We'll see about it.
Goo Goo Gaga.
Positive, I've jinxed myself. A family of ghosts.
Ooh.
Hi, Betsy and Marcy. I once sent y'all a story about my friend's mom's haunted ass house. I said it was the only spooky story I had, but then I remembered that I lived in a haunted ass house for like a year when I was 22.
Hello.
I was very stoned the whole time I lived there, and it was almost 10 years ago.
So I was thinking 22, I'd be like, I could have lived in a very haunted house and not fucking known one bit of it.
So I guess I temporarily forgot. My bad. Here's some background.
Yes.
I love this attitude about it.
Love it.
My friend Lee moved into her grandmother's house to upkeep the property when her grandmother went into hospice. Her grandmother passed soon after, and Lee invited me and another friend to move in. Her grandmother was a big reader, and there were multiple bookshelves lining the walls throughout the house. I should note that her grandmother was very religious. Catholic! It says it with an exclamation point.
We both just blew backwards.
Whoa! But especially obsessed with the end times. So her books were all like the Left Behind series and UFOs and the Bible and shit.
Whoa!
And whoa.
Whoa!
The very first day I moved in, I was up later than my roomies watching TV and ripping the bong.
Yep.
When one of the shelves on the wall directly to my right simply fell, spilling books all over the side table and floor. Very high and a little freaked, I said out loud, okay, going to bed now, turned off the TV, left the shelf where it was, and went to my new room. The next day, Lee asked me what the hell happened, and I told her, at which point she revealed that her grandpa, great aunt, cousin, and now probably grandma's spirits were all said to be in the house.
Ooh, party time.
You got it.
Whoa.
Was that in the lease?
Yeah, you gotta let them know.
She told me the story of how when her great aunt died, her grandmother didn't want to go to the funeral and said out loud, if you really want me there, send me a sign. She left the TV room where the washer and dryer were also located to find her keys, had just decided not to go, went back into the TV room, and the washing machine was filled to the top with her books.
No!
She took it. She took the sign and went to the funeral.
Oh, you gotta go to that funeral then.
Oh, man. Eww. A lot of weird stuff. Go ahead.
That just blew my mind. Ew.
I think more than anything, man, was just like, fuck you.
Yeah, now I gotta move all these books back in alphabetical order.
No, I mean, the one who had died was like, fuck off. Oh. Come to my funeral.
Oh, yeah. Man, you gotta come to my funeral.
It's not like a birthday party. I only get one funeral.
Yeah.
A lot of weird stuff happened in that house while we lived there. Music would play from computer speakers when it was completely shut down. My iPod dock, remember, it was 2009.
Yeah.
Would turn on randomly and play static noise, even though it was set to play FM radio of if the iPad wasn't on. iPod wasn't on. See, babies and me can't
babies
read.
And Marcy.
It had never done it before, and it had not done it since. Every night I felt like I was being watched when I tried to sleep. So much so that I could only fall asleep with my covers pulled all the way up over my head.
Whoa.
I later found out my bedroom had been the grandpa's bedroom. One time a friend of mine crashed on the couch in the TV room after a night of drinking, and she said she woke up in the early hours of the morning to find an older woman in a muumuu with red hair and curlers looking down at her and frowning.
Whoa! And holding a fucking frying pan? Rolling pin.
Oh, yes.
Hey, what are you doing? Get out of my house!
She starts chasing mice around.
Yeah. Whoa!
My friend said she told the old lady, I'm leaving in the morning, rolled over, and went back to sleep. She told Lee she had what she saw in the morning, but not wanting to offend her, she fibbed and said the old woman had looked very kind.
Oh.
Lee said that matched her grandmother's description perfectly, except that her grandma was kind of a mean old bitch, LOL.
Whoa!
Anyway, sorry I lied in my first submission and said I didn't have any more spooky stories when I clearly did. Thanks for reading. I hope you enjoyed. And please keep this podcast coming because I friggin' love it, dudes.
Ooh, hell yeah.
Sam from Fort Worth, Texas.
Thank you, Sam.
Oh, man.
Whoa, dude. Whoa.
Very funny. To be like, are you sure that ghost was nice? Because.
Yeah, are you sure? Okay, that's everything. But also that relief of like, okay, they were an asshole. I'm sorry. They were totally an asshole. Dude.
Yeah.
That's so. I feel like this friend who's taken over the grandma's house has to be like, okay, your room is grandpa's room. You have to be like, and there, his spirit is still here. Mm-hmm. My great aunt's spirit is like, you gotta warn people, dude.
Or are you like, look, I gotta have the non-haunted room. So you can have the master bedroom.
With an ensuite. Bathroom.
Oh, you're gonna love it.
You're gonna, it's so big and nice. It's so big and
everything's
nice.
Everything's safe and normal.
Okay, cool. Whoa.
Also, I love the casualness in which everyone interacted with the ghosts immediately. Like they knew not to be terrified of this thing, but also to understand, like, you don't want me here. I get it.
I get it. I'm just crashing because I had too many Jaeger bombs.
Would you prefer me drink and drive? No,
of course you wouldn't. No.
No.
I know. And I guess there is that of, like, if the friends know, like, oh, okay, it's her family that's hot. So that makes it a little easier to be like, hey, look, sorry, whatever. Rather than an entity we don't know being freaky deaky.
Yes.
You wouldn't be like, I'm sorry, I'm going to get out of here. You'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I got my own rolling pin.
Yes. I sleep with one.
Oh, yeah. I am baking my dreams.
I'm making
night cookies.
Night cookies.
Hoo-choo.
Honk shoo. Would you like me to read one to you?
Yeah, dog.
Okay, you ready?
Hell yeah, dude.
This is entitled Listener Stories. Okay. Hey, guys. My husband and I love your podcast. We listen weekly. Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. My husband suggested I send you guys an email of our events that have happened in our house. So here it goes. So we got married and moved into our house 2 years ago. When we first moved in, I always had a weird feeling about the basement. There's a crawl space that is nothing but dirt, and we've always joked someone is buried in it. I've always had weird feelings as if someone is following me up the stairs or someone is watching me from the basement door. Jesus Christ. Okay. A year after we moved in, a close friend of mine passed away unexpectedly. We inherited some of her things and moved them into the house. We started noticing our candles were being moved around. Glass candle holders at that. Whoa. We have them up pretty high, and we would find them right side up under chairs.
Weird.
The same night we first noticed the moving objects, I had a friend who has always said she could contact the other side. She didn't even know anyone had passed away at this point, and she had texted me asking if we had noticed any candles moving around the house. Which, of course, gave me chills. I told my husband, and at the same time, she sent another text telling me this friend was communicating with her and was telling her to tell us not to be sad and remember the memories of when we would cook out over the summers.
Aww.
I screamed out loud when she sent that, because that same exact day, my aunt had dropped off a grill that was this friend's that had just passed away. Whoa.
That's... Holy shit.
That's totally nutso butso, man. So from there, it had become an ongoing joke where whenever we noticed things to say, damn it, Lori, my friend who had passed away. A few months later, my husband woke up from a nightmare and his stomach was burning and he had claw marks on his stomach.
Lori.
Dude, damn it, Lori and Freddy Krueger. He said that in this dream, we were listening to the radio and we had heard my friend's voice coming through the radio, and that at the same time, my phone had rang and it was my other friend who could communicate with spirits telling us to turn off the radio, and that it was an evil spirit posing as this friend and turn it off immediately. He then woke up from the dream with the marks on his stomach. Dude, I got chills, man.
I got so many chills. All my follicles are on. They are at attention.
They are at attention, at ease, soldiers. A few days later, we had went to visit my mom, and when we came home, this altar that we have with crosses and saints on it had all been moved. Saints on it had all been moved. The crosses were upside down. Oh, fuck. God. And the saints were all knocked over.
Oh, no, I'm going to.
Which put
up.
Both of us on edge. I have bottles bet. Of holy water in my basement that my great grandmother had given me when she went to Mexico. So I brought them up and put them all over the house, bought sage and saged the whole house, including the basement, to the point when the windows were open, it looked like the house was on fire. I told whatever was in the house to please leave and that it was not welcome any longer and to move on. Luckily, since then, we have not had any other events happen. The kitchen light will turn on by itself in the middle of the night, but we have established this is my friend who passed away, letting us know she's still watching over us. Side note, this friend who had passed away was a mortician when she was alive and lived in a funeral home, which I would regularly visit, and it was also in Connecticut. Needless to say, we do not watch the movie Haunting in Connecticut. We both are big believers in the paranormal, but our house has definitely made us question what is really out there. Oh. Hope you guys got a kick out of this. We definitely do. Love you guys. Can't wait to listen to more stories. David and Ian. Wow.
That's
David, Ian, that's terrifying. Nuck and futz, man.
I mean, like, ooh. Like.
Oh,
I'm really like processing the whole radio dream thing,
dude. Seriously, because that was like that was a thing.
Yeah,
like that was absolutely. A haunting or something, right? Like,
well, it would make me think that not all of the things I had been in, like, oh, my friend's doing this, and the friend was like, no, dude.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's classic backstabbing, two-face ghost bitch shit.
That is pretty bad. I'm in a pose. That's like, yeah, when you would call friends and be like, what do you think about Marcy? And they'd be like, I don't know. And then Marcy, you're like, I'm on. It's a three-way call.
You never did that, but you did see it on Mean Girls, or have you done it?
I don't know if – I don't think I had done it. I might have been on the receiving end. Like, hey, they're all right, whatever. They're like, well, they're on right now. It's like, oh, fuck, man.
I was never – we never did anything like that. But I've seen it in Mean Girls.
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe we would, like, prank call a radio station. We used to love to call the radio station and request the song that was currently playing.
I mean, that's a funny bit. That's a very funny bit.
And we'd be like, oh, sorry, we weren't listening yet. So
that is so you did. Okay, well, we were
you play it again?
Yeah, please play it again, man.
But
that's,
yeah, I'm disgusted by that other demon-y thing. Also, once that happens, how can you ever trust that it's
anything.
A friendly ghost?
Anything. I don't know. I would always be on edge of just like, nah, I don't know if you're our friend.
Yeah.
I guess that's why they fucking saged the shit out of it and holy watered the shit out. Upside down crosses. That's scary. We learned that in Conjuring 1 and 2.
Yes.
Too scary.
We learned it when we did the Stations of the Cross.
Oh, what were those again? I remember that.
I actually don't know if I remembered it in the Stations of the Cross, but I know the cross is supposed to be upright.
Yep, I know that much, okay?
I don't really remember a lot about the Stations of the Cross.
I don't remember anything from Catechism. I hated it.
You had to pray at all of the stations.
Yeah, right? There's like 7 stations or something.
I want to say there's 13, but...
Oh, shit, probably.
You're going to hell, dude.
Like I said, I hated every second. of catechism.
Isn't it dorky? But I did kind of like, I liked it. I was like, ooh, yeah, tell me more. What'd they do? Oh, that's fucked up. Like, I thought of it more of a soap opera.
Oh, that, I wish it was presented like that. Like, isn't this like, ooh, kind of trashy, like kind of fun trash?
Can you believe crucified them? These fuckers.
These fucking idiots. And they would throw stones at women. Isn't that stupid?
They're stupid. Their feet were filthy.
I was trying to think of like specifics. And I was like, oh, I don't have any right now for Bible shit.
Well, unfortunately, I don't remember any of it clearly or well, mostly because my brain has been cut up into pieces by an ex and then I had to tape it back together. It's not true, guys. It's not true.
By an ex.
My brain had memories of an ex, so I tore it to pieces.
And to then biscuits.
Biscuits.
So I tore it to biscuits.
I tortoise to biscuits.
Have you ever tortoise to biscuits?
Oof. Tortoise to biscuits.
Tortoise to biscuits, Mr. That's Murgatroy.
The new heavens to Betsy. Tortoise to biscuits.
Tortoise to biscuits.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Did you know that nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they have forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about, I don't know, like 5 different subscriptions. I could not believe when they showed me how many I was paying for each month. And they tell me when something's coming up too. What a shocker. Between streaming services, fitness apps, and delivery services, it's never ending. And thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the ones I've forgotten about. And, you know, I've been trying to save money. And it seems like my bank account, it was stuck. So I gave Rocket Money a try, and it turns out that I was paying for a bunch of stuff that I didn't need. And Rocket Money helped me cancel some of those. And now I'm finally starting to see my account balance going up again. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of expenses. I can see all my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with a few taps. I love how the dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. That's rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years now. I go every single week. I don't even ever want to miss a week because it's so important for keeping me on track, especially during times where things are kind of tough, you know? It's really good to have a therapist you trust as a sounding board. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/afunnyfeeling today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, help.com/afunnyfeeling.
Oof, I'm too scared, man.
Should I play another one?
Please.
Should I play another one?
Play another one, though.
Hi, Mossy and Betsy. This is Britta from Australia. I love your podcast. It's brilliant and it's bringing up so many memories, good and bad. One in particular that I would love to share with you guys is from a few years ago when I was house sitting with my ex-boyfriend. We were house sitting this gorgeous old house, would have been plus 100 years old, and we were staying in the spare bedroom, and we always felt a little bit uneasy when we stayed at their home, as beautiful as it was. They did have 2 dogs and 5 cats, so there was noises all the time. But one night in bed, we both woke up at around 2 o'clock in the morning, and we kind of heard the animals getting a little bit skittish, and so we turned on the lights. You might be able to hear my cat in the background at the moment. So we turned on the lights, and then both dogs ran out the back to this massive glass wall that overlooked the backyard. And so we turned the lights on inside, but you couldn't see anything outside at all, and the dogs were just barking and yelling and going crazy at the glass windows. And we just thought, you know what, we're just going to ignore it. There's nothing else that we can really do. So we went back to bed with all the lights still on. I was laying down and I had my pentagram necklace on the bedside table, and I kind of looked over at it to see its position, and then, you know, I was trying to fall back to sleep, but then I turned over and my necklace had slightly moved, and I thought, oh, it's probably just one of the cats. I'm not going to think anything of it. Rolled over again, and I could hear my necklace moving again. So I turned over and my necklace was just about to fall off the edge of my bedside table. So I went to reach out and grab it, and I heard a little girl giggling, and I immediately turned around to my ex-boyfriend, and he heard it as well. We were both completely shit scared, so we grabbed the keys, put on some clothes, and we just went straight back to my house, leaving all of our bags there. We were not going to risk being there for another minute, and we had to go back the next day and feed all the animals. Poor things, I just realized we left them there overnight. Oh gosh, the poor things. I went back the next day, fed the animals, grabbed all our stuff, and took it back home, and we didn't stay another night there. We just went and played with the animals during the daytime, but there was no way that we were staying another night there. It also reminded me of another creepy story. When I first moved out of home and I was staying in this other very old apartment right in the center of our city, and it was one of the oldest streets in the city, and our road used to be an old underground mine shaft, so there was lots of old energy and activity around there. And I know that my stepdad, he kind of put mirrors all around my house to kind of deflect all the negative energy because there was just so much going on. And I was having a really, really bad night. One night I was laying in my bed and I opened up my eyes and there was a man sitting cross-legged on my wall above my bed, looking straight down at me. I have no idea what to say. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it because I haven't thought about it for so long. I've kind of buried it in the back of my mind. But yeah, that was a little bit spooky. So I hope you guys enjoyed these stories. I love you both. You are so amazing. You make me laugh so hard. And you guys are just freaking awesome. So hope you guys enjoyed it and have a great afternoon or morning or night or whatever time it is over there. Bye.
Thank you.
Whoa, thank you. That is so gross.
Yes.
That's so fucking gross, man. Ooh.
I love how Britta put it as it's a little bit creepy.
Yeah, where it's like, no, that's like, I'm surprised you made it out, dude.
You had a pervert elf on a shelf above you. No.
Ew. That's so, oh my God. Yeah, I'm surprised you're not fucking catatonic, just like sitting on in a rocking chair with a blanket on your lap, just
probably
going like,
honestly, probably is. And someone just put a recorder in front of her because she's been saying this story over and over.
Whoa.
So traumatized.
The little girl
pulling a pentagram necklace.
Oh, nasty, 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 nasty.
Let me tell you something even nastier, Betsy.
Don't tell me. Okay, tell me something nasty.
I think because whatever it was caught, maybe pretended like it was a little girl. So that.
Ew, Marcy.
So that you would think it's a less malevolent entity.
That's a dumb move, dude. Kids are horrific.
Okay, we've made it very
alive
clear.
Alive and dead.
We've made it very clear in this episode. We do not care for children. We have to apologize to all the children of the world.
All the children listening.
There are children listening. I know there are. Hi.
Uh-oh.
You guys
hi.
Are cool because you're into
cool,
ghost stories.
Man. You're cool.
You guys get it. Everyone else is beneath you. But I think... like you might be like, oh, it's just this little girl who haunts the house. It's nothing scary. She can't do anything to you. But honestly, she's a little witch who made herself turn into a little girl trying to. I also thought it was for a moment I envisioned little mice who were like, we have spells to do.
Oh, whoa.
Little mice being like, no, she's in tears. We got double boy in trouble. That's not how it goes.
Well, we're mice. Hey,
we don't know. We don't know what.
We can't
double,
be.
Double toil and cheese. We love cheese because we're mice. Ha, ha, ha.
We have little hats.
We have tiny little witch mice hats.
I'm putting a spell on Clarice's husband. He's been cheating on her with a mole.
With a mole. Oh, that's. Oh, I want to watch a bunch of mice be witches.
I don't blame them for leaving the animals by them. So the animals were fine.
And hey, you went and saw them in the date. That's great.
Like, if I abandoned my own animals, that would be kind of fucked up. But, you know, the owner did that to them and didn't tell you about that.
Yeah, the owner needed to give you a little heads up. Just a little heads up of my house is fucking creepy, man.
Yes. I'm still floored by that. Someone trying to steal your necklace.
Oh. Ew. And ew. Like hearing it. Hearing every move of it is just so creepy.
Yuck.
Yeah, like I'd rather just have it be on the ground when I wake up and be like, oh, that's weird. I bet it was one of the five cats, whatever. But
I probably
like,
flailed my arms around.
Yeah, you're a wild sleeper, huh?
Oh my gosh. I've burned down 3 buildings. Separately.
Yeah, they were far away from each other.
Oh, yeah, different times of year, everything.
Whoa.
I don't know if we gave enough attention to the man above her bed, dude, but that's also...
That is so creepy. I don't... Yeah. Like, that is... Yeah. Truly an awful, awful image that is now in my brain.
That's how you have to live now.
Now I have to go to sleep and be like, oh my God, if I look up and there is a dude sitting crisscross applesauce staring down at me, what do I do?
I mean, you sit in your rocking chair, you repeat the story.
Yes, yeah.
On end.
On end, over and over again.
Shall I read a story
yes,
now?
Yes, please.
Okay. This one is saying. This one is saying.
This when one my, is saying.
So what is this one saying? Okay. When my 15-year-old daughter started sleeping on the couch, I just thought her room must be too hot for her. But when she started trying to take over the living room, I realized something was up.
Whoa.
In our home, there's a strict no unknown ghosts allowed policy.
Whoa.
So when she said there was something wrong in her room, I was quite pissed and on a mission to fix it. I've had this gift all my life. When I feel things, I can tell whether they are male or female, good or bad, their emotions as well. Sometimes the hair on my neck will raise. It just depends. I used to see them a lot and hear them at times, but I learned to block most of it out. Anyway, she has taken her mirrored closet doors off, so everything is open.
Yeah. Smart. Get rid of those. Fucking get rid of those.
Honestly, no one in the world needs them.
No, just get rid of them.
One mirror.
If even.
Honestly, you only need to see yourself from the shoulders up. Don't
Thank
do it.
Thank you. Thank you. Just have the bathroom one.
Yes.
That's all you need.
The mirrors are propped on the other wall. I take two steps into the room, and even the hair on my fucking legs are standing at attention. At ease.
At ease, soldiers.
I immediately know it's something in her closet.
I want to
find it and get it out. And now I'm asking 1,000 questions as I'm scanning her shelves and her clothes. I now know exactly why she won't go in her room. I'm a pretty ballsy woman, but the feeling is so strong at this point. I'm starting to lose my shit. I wanted to puke when I realize I'd have to turn my back to this thing, and I'm going to see it when I face the mirrors.
Oh, God.
So I quickly reconnect to being pissed off, and I storm out of the room. I recompose myself, apologize to my daughter, get pissed, go back in her room. I know exactly where it is. It's this very old salmon-colored silk gown a friend of mine found and gave to my daughter. I took it straight to the dumpster. I could feel it on my hands even after I threw it away.
What?
I normally don't have sage on hand, but it got wet. I normally have sage on hand, but it got wet, so I threw it out. The next day at work, I told my coworker the story. She brought me a stick of Palo Santo. I smudged the shit out of that room and put my grandfather's ashes in there. My daughter was back in her room the next night. I hope no one finds that dressed.
Ew!
I felt a little guilty for not burning it. I imagine a white light around the trash man, who I figured had no clue. Whatever it was attached to that gown was super nasty.
Yeah.
P.S. I told my friend what happened, but she doesn't get it. My next question to her was, how do you go to church, believe in God and in heaven, but refuse to believe in ghosts or just straight out evil shit? And that's a question for the ages, my friends.
That's a good question to ask.
I love this email. Just jumped right in, like, boom, we're doing this. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. We're
spooky
on it.
Dress.
Yes.
Ew. That's fucked up. Oh, that's so. And knowing immediately of like, it's that fucking dress, that salmon colored dress that my friend found.
Mm-hmm.
Found.
Why did that friend give that to a child?
Like dress up or something, you know?
Did
you play dress up?
No, we don't.
You don't play dress up? I still do.
Yes. You're dressed as a princess right now.
Thank you, princess. What's the one from Frozen? Elsa.
Elsa.
That's the one. That's who I'm dressed as. Let it go. That was really good, Marcy. All of your glasses shattered around you.
Oh, genuine effort.
I love it. It sounds good.
A genuine effort. It's hard. It's a hard. It's hard.
You should be a singer.
Just making people like watch me not be able to hit notes, but trying so hard.
So hard.
I think I could put on a good show even without being a great singer.
Absolutely. I'd watch you all the time.
I want to think that I would get better along the way, just like I have with anything else I've tried.
Do you think you would without, like, I guess you would, like, learn little lessons of, like, oh, my voice breaks when I try too hard or something.
My mouth fills up with blood when I do this.
Little goop.
I think you would get possibly better, but not great without professional help.
Right.
Not like a psychologist, but
but an actual vocal psychologist.
Yeah. It's like, you know, when we've taught people in the past, like when someone's funny and they've been doing like whatever it is, like in their hometown or whatever, you're like, oh, right. I can tell you're funny. And yes. Now I'll and show you now. How to be good.
Right. Marcy? Betsy. I shall read one now.
Okay, now.
I read one now.
This is
titled Spooky British Ghost.
Oh, yes.
Spooky British Ghost. Hi, guys. I was going to voice record this, but I have a Geordie accent, Newcastle upon Tyne, Northeast England dialect. So I don't know if you'd understand everything I said. Felt much safer to email. That's
I will
very
say,
nice of you.
I didn't understand that descriptor at all. So that's if that's any part of it.
yeah. Anyways, you guys are mint, and I've been contemplating sending you this for a while. So here goes. We're mint. I worked and lived in London for 10 years, and a lot of that time I had an ace boss who wasn't British and whose wife worked for a very posh family who also housed the staff on site.
Fancy.
They lived in the stables, which had been converted into 4 2-bed flats. Layout of theirs was a long corridor with doors coming off both sides to bedrooms and a bathroom. And at the end of the corridor, a kitchen / living room combo. My boss kept seeing people milling around in the courtyard where the bins were every time he took the bins out. He'd come running back in and make his wife go out to look, but no one would be there. He said they'd be dressed in old uniforms and never acknowledged him when he shouted, "Hey, mate, what you doing?" at them. Bit odd. Ooh, that's spooky.
It is a bit odd.
That's very bit odd.
Bit odd.
Should I do this in an English accent?
Oh, I think they would appreciate it so much.
Not long later, they had a baby and they both started seeing shadows in the baby room when they'd walked past the door down the corridor. Okay, that's enough.
One sentence, I'm done.
Usually, as if someone was standing by the crib or leaning over it.
Ew.
No. As soon as they entered the room, the shadow would be gone. They blamed the curtains and lighting and baby mobile.
Mobile.
I ask this all the time. The baby mobile, because it's not a baby mobile, because that baby's not driving.
Yes, the baby's cruising.
Baby mobile and anything they could think of. My boss then started seeing what he describes as as a small child running down the corridor, both him and his wife hearing the padding of its feet as it ran.
No.
Gross. Their baby wasn't old enough to walk yet, so it wasn't them. My boss's wife was proper freaked out at this point, so just kept blaming her husband for all the weird things going on and living in massive denial. Then, one day at work, I'm having a coffee with my boss, and he's telling me these tales. I'm getting well spooked, and he says, Did I ever show you the video? No, he had not. Now I wish I'd asked him to send it to me so I could send it to you. Fuck yeah. But I'm extremely British and awkward and too polite, and asking my boss to send me a video of a ghost is way out of my comfort zone. Fair enough. That's fair enough. The video is of his baby, who's a toddler in video, sitting on the living room floor. I already have chills. With about 4 balloons on the ground around her. Not helium balloons, just normal full of breath ones. So they don't float. She's batting them about on the floor and laughing, then looks intensely to her side where a dark shadow comes into shot on the wall. Oh my God, I have chills. You can hear his wife start freaking out in the background. Toddler started babbling at the shadow. Then one of the balloons lifts off the ground and bops the kid in the head. The kid laughs. That's so scary.
That's very funny.
Boss's wife is freaking. Balloon goes back down and sits still on the ground for a while. Then it starts to rise up again above the kid's head. Boss's wife then rushes over and grabs the kid, and the video ends. It was legit the creepiest thing I've ever seen. The wife left that job not long after, so they moved out. And if you ask her about living there and seeing ghosts, she gets very angry and defensive, not wanting to talk about it at all. Hope you enjoyed and didn't shit your pants. Keep up the awesome podcasting and have a smashing 2020, Allie. It's over. It was okay.
No, Allie sent this email in January, so Allie has no clue.
Dude, none of us did. Thank you, Allie. That is spooky. That ghost was playing with that kid.
Yes.
I mean, of course, everything is haunted. Any idea of, like, stables converted in the house, like, old-timey stables converted in the house? That's it. England, man.
England, man.
Haunted.
It's just got, you know, a lot of people.
I mean,
who,
everywhere.
You know, I think specifically, though, they have a lot of like, this is how you're supposed to behave. These are the rules. And if you don't do it, I'm going to bop your baby in the fucking head.
Boop. With a balloon.
Bop your baby in the
That's
head.
Do, 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 do. Spooky. I want to see that video so bad.
Me too.
So bad, but I get it. How weird to be like, send me that video.
Look, don't
boss.
Ask your boss, just break into their home, figure out their passcode.
Yeah, that's even better.
Or use the face recognition when
they're
asleep.
While they're sleeping.
Yes,
it's easy.
Easy.
Easy peasy. That's all we ask, Allie, if you don't mind. Do that. Send us the video. It'll be great.
It'll be
If you get in trouble, we'll
send you
some
note.
Money. We'll write you a note to get you out of jail.
We'll say it was for us.
Yeah, and then the jail people would be like, oh, we're fans of that show. So yeah, here you could go.
Put us on the phone. Put us on the phone with them.
Put us on the phone with the warden, please. Marcy wouldn't understand what the warden was saying. One
Betsy
bit.
Betsy would pretend to be British.
Hello, warden. It is us. With a funny feeling.
It's very funny. Like, obviously, there's fun little, like, where a different sound comes out.
Yeah.
For like a TH or whatever with British or whatever accent. But I have friends that are in America, and I think they say things insane. Like, I have a friend that says when she says both, it sounds like both.
Oh yeah, both. Both.
Both of them.
There's a SNL sketch from a long time ago where Sarah Michelle Gellar. Wait. Yeah, I think she's hosting
Buffy.
Buffy, yes. She's hosting. Do you remember the one where they're like eating? It's Will Ferrell, Anna Gasteyer, and her. And they're just like clinking plates. And it's the whole game of the scene is just like this. He's like, I drive a Dodge Neon. A Dodge Stratus. Do you remember that?
No.
Marcy.
I don't watch it as religiously as some other people.
Anyways, she says both. And I always think of that sketch when I hear both.
I've like stopped myself from pointing it out because it's like they can't help it. So,
right.
But I want to be like, do you know you say both? Both?
Yeah, I have.
And I'm perfect. Friends. Did you know that?
Did you know that? Where it's like milk instead of milk. Pillow. Mine says groceries for groceries.
Grocery. Because he's trying to not eat so much. He's like, they're gross. Groceries. Grosh. When I say a K, a word that ends with a K, I sort of sound like it has a G after it too. Like think, well, thinking. Oh. Or no, it's what it is. It's a G and I put a K on it. So
thinking. Oh, think ink.
Thinking.
I'm thinking.
Thinking. I put a K on it.
Thinking. Thinking. Thinking.
I'm drinking. Thinking. Frinking.
Frinking.
Think. Woo! And perfect. All right.
That was good. That was good. That's spooky, man.
Should we listen to one more?
Yes, we should.
All right. Here we go.
Hello, Marcy and Betsy and guest. My name is Brian. I just started listening probably a few weeks ago, week or two ago. But I think I'm all caught up now. The show is great and I'm a big fan and I have a story to share with you. It's a different kind of story than the ones I've heard on the podcast, but I thought you guys might think it was kind of interesting. So a few years back, I lived in Boston and I worked in Cambridge and I had to take, in order to get back home, I needed to take a bus from where I worked to the T, which is like the subway in Boston, and took the T to the stop close to my house. And so one night I had to stay a little later than usual, and I was walking home and got a sense, got that feeling that someone was watching me or close to me, or, you know, you get that kind of sense when you're on a busy street and someone's close to you, or they're in your personal space. But yeah, I got an uneasy feeling like I was being watched or followed. And I get to the bus, and it wasn't there yet, so I had to wait a little bit, and I was starting to get a little anxious, nervous. There wasn't a whole lot of people around. And I get on the bus, and there's only a few people on the bus, and there was a little sense of relief there, because I could see everybody on the bus. There were only 7 or 8 other people. Then I get to the T station, and I'm walking through the T station, and the feeling intensifies. Now, there are more people in the T station, but I am definitely, I'm hoping now that it's someone I know, and I have, it's that kind of sense that I can turn around, it's going to be my friend from college or something like that, that someone is definitely watching me or following me, and now, yeah, I'm starting to get more nervous. And I'm not a very nervous person or anxious person, I would say, so I thought this kind of odd. And I'm waiting for the T to arrive, and I get on the T, and this time, in transit, it's not really going away, this feeling. And, so I get to, there's a stop in between where you have to switch lines. It was the red line, and I need to switch over to the green line. And it's just kind of a big hub of a stop in Boston itself. I lived in a town outside of Boston. Very, very close to Boston, near Fenway Park. And so I'm in this hub of a station, and I can really feel it now. Someone is definitely not only watching me, but very close to me. And now I am uncomfortable and uneasy. And I begin to kind of look around, and I'm concerned that I look a bit nuts, even though I think there's someone else more nuts chasing me. And I'm looking around, and I don't see anyone, and I start to sweat, and I'm getting that nervous. I'm getting very cold. You know, when you get kind of scared or nervous, you start to get really cold. And I start running to where I need to go, to this other, this T switch. And even just thinking about this now, it really freaks me out. I'm sweating telling the story now. So I'm running, and that was a decision my legs kind of made before my brain did. And I'm running to the T, and I'm straight up pushing older people out of the way. I'm concerned. I have a very serious concern for my well-being at this point. And I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and my T pulls up, thank God. And I just jump onto it, and I turn around. And right before the doors close, I am looking. There's a man about 6'2" who is standing out in the crowd, maybe 4 yards from where I am now on the tee. And he is just laser focused, looking right into my eyes. He's about 6'2", 200 and something pounds. Long black coat, almost like an Argyle sweater, glasses, weathered kind of appearance, bald, but with a like scruffy beard. And I'm looking in a mirror. This person, I kid you not, looks exactly like me 40 years from now. And he is not breaking eye contact, and he's looking directly at me. And the doors close, and the people all around him, you know, it gets a little bit more crowded. I can't see anymore where he is, and the tee takes off. I am freezing cold, as white as a ghost. I didn't move. I had to be, like, pushed out of the way when we made the following stops to my house. I stood in the doorway, and when the tee stopped at my stop, I got off. I threw up. I was extremely sick. I started crying. Again, not really something I do quite often, or puke. But crying, throwing up, I call my girlfriend at the time and explain everything that just happened. So I sound completely insane. And for about a week after that, I am so sick. I am really, really, really deeply flu ridden sick. And eventually I get over it. Very, very weird. Fast forward to about several years later, I've moved. I'm not in Boston anymore. I moved across the country, not because of this incident, but because of other opportunities and reasons. And my wife and I were sitting at home. I think we had just watched a movie or something. It was pretty late at night, 11 o'clock or something. And she looked over at me and she said, "Oh my God, are you feeling okay?" And I wasn't. I felt sick to my stomach. I was sweating. I was nervous and anxious and clammy and cold. And I knew what was happening. It was the exact same feeling that I had years before. And she kept asking me, "Oh, is it this? Is it this?" And I was like, "Nope, nope, nope. Nope." And I was almost in tears again. And I just said, "I know what this is. It's him. He's here. He's close." I know that sounds completely insane, but that's what it is. It just, the feeling came out of nowhere. I got up. I looked outside. I went onto our balcony. I didn't see anyone, but I knew that's what it was. So I don't have any idea what any of that means or how you would categorize it. I mean, glass half full, I'm a time traveler and I at least live until I'm, you know, in my deep 50s, early 60s. So that's good. I lose my hair, which kind of blows. But yeah, I haven't had that feeling since, but I thought I'd share that with you guys because I thought you might think it was, or gals, and guest, to see what you guys thought. I hope you enjoyed it. Keep doing what you're doing. I'm a big fan. Thanks, guys, gals, and guest.
Whoa! This really messed me up. Time traveling? I think. Marty. You can't see. If you see your younger self, then you're going to make your younger self sick, Marty.
You're going to make your stomach hurt, Marty.
Yeah. He's going to puke and cry, Marty.
You're going to look like a real sissy in front of that lady friend of yours.
What the fuck, dude?
I can't even wrap my mind around. I've never heard a story like that. Brian, you're absolutely right. I've never heard a story like this before.
Never.
What's so disturbing about it is the urgency that the older you felt.
Oh. Wait, like you?
Like, huh?
The old, or of like, I need to follow.
Yeah, like, why the fuck is old Marcy running after young Marcy?
Maybe to warn, like, your son's gonna get in trouble. Oh. Marty, like in Back to the Future too.
Yeah.
So maybe older is like, hey.
I think older he's like, you gotta start taking Rogaine now.
Oh yeah, listen to me. Whoa, that
Snap
is so creepy.
It truly, that unnerved me.
Me too.
And the following is scary enough to
so scary
to look out and see, to be able to see so clearly this person looking back at you, but then to move and feel it again
and feel it again,
know
exactly what it is. That is, this was like Stephen King shit.
Yes,
like this feels like Stephen King book.
Yeah. Now, I don't know when Brian sent this in. I feel like it was probably at least a year older than a couple years.
Yeah.
But if you are listening, Brian, tell
us an update.
What the fuck is happening, dude?
Yeah. Let us know if it's happened to you again. This feeling.
Oh, and how's your hair?
And how's your hair doing? That's the most important thing.
Have you bought any long coats?
Oh, yeah, and an Argyle sweater.
Yeah, that's a specific look.
Very specific.
Absolutely.
Whoa.
Also, didn't Brian sound so nice?
Very nice. Very nice.
I love Brian. I think he's great.
Brian, we love you.
Yeah. I mean, if I saw you puking, I'd be like, Brian.
Hey, Brian's just puking because he saw his older self chasing him. So don't worry.
Brian's puking and crying again. Great guy, though. Great guy.
Really great guy. Really great guy. Whoa.
Blown away, Betsy. I'm blown away.
I truly, like, that really shook me to my core.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like my insides are shriveling up because they're like, ew, get out of here.
Yeah. My insides are outside my house looking in now.
They are. They're knocking on your door.
It's not really a knock sound. It's more of squish, but.
They're painting your house red.
Ah. Boy, I'm devastated by all of these.
I am like, yeah, they're so good.
So good. So
Holy
good.
Shit. Yep. What a way to start the weekend, huh? Getting scared as the shit.
Freaking, it's Friday for us, so.
It's Friday, yes.
It won't be your weekend. Sorry.
Sorry, it'll be the middle of the week.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, Pagettios.
Yeah, these were great. That really, really, I'm like.
I don't. It's so scary of yeah. like. Yeah, future you try, like warning or
I would
future doppelganger.
Truly, I wish like this was an interview because I have so many questions for Brian.
Me too. Oh my god,
what do you think it was?
Right, I mean, he did say time.
Time traveler. He's a best case scenario time traveler.
I was thinking like future doppelganger. I don't know if that's a thing, but like seeing like
I think it's a looper situation.
what's that?
You know, stuck Bruce in a Willis loop.
I never saw that movie.
No, I never saw it either, Betsy.
Then what is it?
I don't know. But don't you think about it?
Maybe it's a looper. It might be a looper situation.
Didn't Will Smith recently play, it was in a movie where he was both older and younger, Will Smith?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, Bad Boys 3. I forgot what it's called, though. I didn't see it.
Okay.
Well, oof. I'm devastated. I'm destroyed.
I am too. That really, like, I feel wild.
Yep.
I feel weird after that.
I got to dunk my head in a toilet or something.
give yourself a swirly.
Oh, yeah. I got to bring myself back down to reality.
Yeah, man. Ooh.
These were great.
So good. Thank you all so much for sending them in. Keep them coming.
Please.
We love them.
We need them. We want them.
Yeah.
Oh. And Brian, if you're listening, did you hear the K there?
Yeah,
listening. Please tell us what the fuck, dude.
Right. Tell us what the fuck,
dude.
What the fuck, dad?
This is great. Thank you guys so much. Good.
Thank you all.
All right.
Stay safe. Have fun safely. Get scared.
Bye.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening to A Funny Feeling.
If you have a paranormal experience that you would like to share, please send us a voice memo, or you can email us just a letter at funnyfeelingpod@gmail.com. I'm Marcy.
I'm Betsy. And don't shit your pants!
That was a HeadGum Podcast.